Okay, so we started with Hidur Mitzvah yesterday, and what we did yesterday is just went through the main source, which is the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuflam Gimel. We went through different types of Hidur. Hidur in the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, which it seems to be the entire Gemara Shabbos, Kuflam Gimel is about Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. And then we introduced the concept based on Psachim, based on the Rashbam in Psachim, that it's a Hidur Mitzvah to really go after the Matzah, to eat the Matzah L'Te'avon, that it seems that there's such a thing as a Hidur in the Maisa as well. We also pointed out Rashi in Yuma, where it sounds like not just the Hidur in the Maisa, and not just the Hidur in the Chefta, but there's a din of Hidur in the Tircha of the Bailim, and how much effort a person puts into the mitzvah. And then we took a quick look also at the Avnei Nezer, about the Igud HaLulav, where the Avnei Nezer understood that the Hidur mitzvah of having the Egid of the Lulav is not that it makes a nicer Chefta Shal mitzvah, because if that were the case, a bow would be a better Egid than a knot. But in fact, that's not true. A knot is a better egged, but a bow is more beautiful. So it's not a hider in how it looks in the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. It's a hider in the lekicha, that since it's really tied tightly together, you can take it all at one shot, and that's a hider l'chora in the Maisa. We pointed out also the Sefer HaChinuch. We close with that. The Sefer HaChinuch talks about maror, what you're supposed to use as maror. It's a Mishnah, Meseches Pesachim. The Mishnah goes through five vegetables that are all kosher to use for maror. The first vegetable on the list is lettuce. Lettuce is the ideal vegetable. I want to give a Temin Alachshir sometime before Pesach about Seder misconceptions. One of the biggest misconceptions at the Seder is that real maror is the horseradish, and that lettuce is like for the girls, you know, but real maror is the horseradish. That is not true. The real maror is lettuce. That's the ideal vegetable to use for maror. Horseradish, when Jews didn't have lettuce because they were living in climates that were, they weren't able to grow lettuce, so they had to come up with something bitter. So they came up with this idea of using horseradish. It is not poshut at all that horseradish is any of the vegetables that are on the list. Some hold it is. It's the third or fourth one on the list, I think, but others say that no, it's none of the vegetables on the list, and we just didn't have any of the vegetables. Rav Schechter subscribes to that shita of Professor Felix, that it's none of the vegetables that's on the list, because it doesn't fit. The rest of the vegetables on the list are all green leafy vegetables, and they're all bitter, like endives. It's bitter. Lettuce, if you let it sit for a little bit, you know, instead of eating it fresh, gets very bitter. Horseradish is not bitter. Horseradish is sharp. It's a charifus. It's a very different feel, than a very different sensation than bitterness. So it doesn't seem that horseradish really fits maror. Okay, so I'll be mekel b'dieved yotze with horseradish. But l'chadchila, you're supposed to use lettuce. Now, I should note, Chaznish held that if it doesn't taste bitter, you shouldn't use it. That it actually has to, you have to experience that taste. But many, many posts can disagree with the Chaznish and hold that as long as you're using a vegetable that's called maror, that's good enough. So the Sefer HaChinuch we saw pointed out yesterday, why is it better to use lettuce? Why is chasa the ideal vegetable to use? So it says Sefer HaChinuch, because of its name. It's called chasa. Chasa means rachmanos. Kadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanos on Klal Yisrael. So it's a hider mitzvah to use lettuce as your maror, because you're going to realize that it's about a Kadosh Baruch Hu having rachmanos on Klal Yisrael. So what kind of hider mitzvah is that? That seems like a hider mitzvah b'kavana, b'machshava, that's also a hider mitzvah, doing something, and I think Mary pointed out that's the line in the Gemara in Shabbos about lishma possibly being a hider. That's not a hider in the maisa, it's not a hider in the cheftza, it's a hider in the machshava, that's also called a hider. One other context where hider comes up, which is also outside of the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah context, and then we'll go back to the beginning of the pack, but just to finish off this topic, if you look in Tosfos and Brachos on Daf Chaf Aleph, source number 39, Tosfos and Brachos, Daf Chaf Aleph and Beis, Ad Shelo Yagia Shliach Tzibur Lamodim, the Tomei Chazar Sashatz over here. So what do you do when you're davening, and you're still in your silent Shemon Esrei, and they get up to Kedusha? The chazan gets up to kedusha. So what should you do while the tzibur is saying kedusha? What's the appropriate behavior? So toward the end of that tosos, at the very end, he writes three lines from the bottom. Because of Rashi besukah perik lulav agazel, the adam amispal v'shamim pi achazan kadosh kedusha, eino yochel lahafzik v'lanos im tzibur, eli yishtok v'yamtin maat d'shamei kaone. Now what should you do? You can't say kedusha because you're in the middle of your silent Shemon Esrei. You shouldn't, but you can't just keep going because they're saying Kedusha. So you were saying Kedusha. So what do? Stand there quietly and don't worry, you'll be Yotzei Kedusha. How are you going to be Yotzei? Shomea Ka'ona. This is the famous Machlokas Rashi Tosos, is Shomea Ka'ona Mamish or it's just ke one, but it's not really one. When we say that shomea ke one, that when I hear somebody saying it, it says if I'm saying it, does that mean as if but not really, or is it mamish the same thing as saying it? If it were mamish the same thing as saying it, then Rashi's shita wouldn't make much sense. I'm not allowed to say it, but I could stop in the middle of my Shemoneh Esrei and do Shomea Kaona. What do you mean? If Shomea is literally the same thing as saying it, then what's the difference whether I actually say it or I hear it? And it's Kilu I say it. Elamai, what you see Rashi holds is that Shomea Kaona means you're Mekayim the mitzvah Kilu you're Ona. But it's not mamish that you were Ona. It's not the same thing as saying it. It's just that you get the Kiyum HaMitzvah the same way you would had you said it. But it's not going to be a hefsek in the middle of your silent Shemoneh Esrei. That's how Rashi understands. Says Tosfos, V'yesh Lomer, D'lechadchila Ein Lasos Kein. He says, I don't think you should do that. D'aniyah Chashiva Tfei Hidr Mitzvah. L'chadchila, don't rely on this. Why? So very strange. He says, because when you say it yourself, that's a Hidr Mitzvah. Of all the terminology to use. Hidur mitzvah, like you could have said so much, mitzvah bo yosur mi bishlucho maybe. Better you do the mitzvah than have someone else have a shliach do it for you, although with Shomei HaKohen it's not really a shliach. Because when a shliach does something for you, you're not there usually. You don't have to be there. To be yotzei with Shomei HaKohen, you have to be there to listen. So it's not really shlichus, but hidur mitzvah? What does hidur mitzvah have to do with this? What kind of hidur is he talking about over here? Why is this a hider if I say it myself rather than listen to somebody else say it? What would you think? It's not a hider in the cheftza, there is no cheftza. Right? It's just words. Is it a hider in the maisa mitzvah? Of being ona versus being shomea? So you could say that certainly I'm a more active participant in the maisa. So when you're a more active participant in the maisa, it's a maisa. Is it a hider in the kavana? Hard to tell. When you're listening, sometimes you have better kavanah because that's your whole job is to have the kavanah. Whereas when you're speaking, your job is to read the words, you think, and you're not necessarily having. So it seems more of a hidur in the mice. Maybe it's a hidur of the showing the interest that you're being toreach b'shvil the mitzvah, like we have by the Sefer Torah, that it's not too small a matter for me to do myself and to take like a mitzvah bo yosem b'shluch, a kind of hidur. Maybe that also shows respect to the mitzvah, to show that you want to actively participate, you want to do it yourself. Okay, these are the different types of hidur that we have. But let's go back and start actually studying hidur mitzvah in terms of what level of... First thing you always have to deal with in any topic is the topic that we're talking about. Is this a din d'oraisa? Is it a din d'rabbana? Do you need it? Do you have it? Is it a din d'oraisa or is it a din d'rabbanan? So that's always the first thing you have to ask. You ever open up any tshuva and any serious sefer, Ibris Moshe or anything else, when they have to deal with the shayla, first thing they always ask, are we dealing with a din d'oraisa or are we dealing with a din d'rabbanan? So let's start with that. Now, from the simple Pshat Gemara in Shabbos, very clearly, Zekeli Vanveu, quotes a pasuk. Pasuk in the Torah usually indicates that we're dealing with a din d'oraisa. If you look at the Yamshel Shlomo, source number 5, in the context of this Yom Shel Shlomo is in Baba Kama. Where does Hidur Mitzvah come up in Baba Kama? So we're going to hopefully get into it, but it's a totally separate sugya of how much money you're supposed to spend on Hidur Mitzvah. The Gemara says over there, Hidur Mitzvah is ad shlish, up until the third on Hidur Mitzvah. So the Gemara first thinks that means that if you have, let's say, $3,000 to your name, you're supposed to spend $1,000 on ensuring Hidur Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, well, that's crazy. You do 3 mitzvahs and you're wiped out, and then you're not going to be able to do anything anymore. So the Gemara says, no, ad shlish b'mitzvah. You find out how much the mitzvah would cost, bare bones, spend 1/3 more than that. And then the Gemara has a discussion, what does 1/3 more mean? Does 1/3 more mean 33% more? 33.33, whatever, percent more? Or does 1/3 mean 50% more? Oh, I know that. 50% is 1/2, right? So no, the Gemara says, shlish mi levar. Sometimes we use, most of the time, when we speak in fractions, we speak in fractions as a function of the total number once the fraction is added. Meaning, let's say you take truma from a kohen, you eat truma. So for eating truma, in your non-kohen, you have to pay back the actual value of the truma plus an extra fifth. What does it mean, an extra fifth? It doesn't mean an extra 20%, it means an extra 25%. So if I ate $100 of truma, I have to pay back $125. Why? Or when you're po de meiser sheni, right? If you're po de meiser sheni, you have to add a fifth. So if I have Maisa Sheni in Chutzlaritz and I want to, not Chutzlaritz, outside Yerushalayim, and I want to schlep it up to Yerushalayim, but I can't schlep all the stuff, so I want to just bring money instead to Yerushalayim, I could exchange it for money. $100 of Maisa Sheni, I have to give $125. Why? How does adding $25 one-fifth, it sounds like one-fourth? It's milavar. It's a chomesh milavar. Because of the $125 total, the $25 that I added are going to be one-fifth of the new total. Even though it was only one-fourth of the original, it's one-fifth of the new total. So maybe the same thing is true by Hidr Mitzvah. That shlish means milavar. That if let's say the basic bare bones mitzvah costs $100, so when I add $50 of the $150 total, $50 are make up one-third of that total. So maybe that's what shlish means. Okay, it's on that the Yam Shel Shlomo is commenting. So says the Yam Shel Shlomo, source number 5. Umasuk shlish mi legav, shlish mi levar, teku. Kosva rush, shlish mi legav, kivin dola nifshita habaya. Meaning we have a suffix in the Gemara. The Gemara is not poshet the suffix. Does shlish mean 33%? Does it mean 50%? What do I need to spend in Hidr Mitzvah? Whenever you have a suffix about anything, the most important question to ask is, are we dealing with the Dindar Raisa or are we dealing with the Dindar Rabbanan? If we're dealing with Dindar Rabbanan, suffix Rabbanan, lakula. Dealing with Dindar Raisa, suffix Raisa, lachamra. So this is critical, right? What's Hidr Mitzvah? Vitema. So the Rush says, go lakula. Rush says, shlish mi legav, say 33%. V'teima, me'achar shu sveika dar reisa azlina l'chumra. V'efshar shu savar de'in zeh dar reisa. So he says, maybe this is a raya. The fact that the Rush is meikel must be that the Rush holds not dar reisa. Me'achar sheinu mitzvah sasei rak mitzvah bi'alma lahadera mitzvah. Why is it not dar reisa? It's a very interesting line right there. Saying, what makes it not dar reisa? Me'achar sheinu mitzvah sasei rak mitzvah bi'alma lahadera mitzvah. What does that mean? It's an Indian. How does he know? I mean, Me'achra seems like there's a given. There's a given about the nature of this thing. And based on that given, it sounds like it's not really a Daraisa. So, I thought one way to read this is, Me'achra Sheinu Mitzvah Saseh, this isn't telling you a new mitzvah to do. Hidr mitzvah is once you are already doing the mitzvah, this is how to do it. This is how to make it better. Mitzvahs d'oraisa are to take you from zero to mitzvah. Take you from not doing anything, okay, now you're putting on tzitzis, now you're doing the mitzvah. Now you're putting on tefillin, that's a mitzvah. But to tell me how to do it, once I'm already doing the mitzvah, that's not a mitzvah saseh. It would be completely unique in Kala Torah Kula. We don't have mitzvah saseh like that, mid'oraisa. Do you ever have, once you're doing a mitzvah, so then this is the way to do it, being its own separate mitzvah d'oraisa. You don't have it anywhere. And that's, like you're saying, therefore, it's just an inyan. And it's not a mitzvah. And an inyan, that would be d'rabbanan. Nevertheless, says the Yam Shel Shlomo, when we call makom nearly l'chumra, I still think we should go l'chumra, even though the Rush's objection notwithstanding. If you know much about the Yam Shel Shlomo, he was not particularly afraid of arguing on Rishonim, even though he was an early Achron. He says, nearly l'chumra, b'prat sha'arif lo hevi abaya. He says, the Rif doesn't even quote the Shaila, which is strange that the Rif wouldn't quote the Shaila. But he says, it's because the Rif assumes you read the Gemara, you're supposed to know that you go l'chumra. Okay. Because of stam ad shlish, all the Rif says is that you go ad shlish. Mashma l'chumra. That's mashma l'chumra. What? Why is that mashma l'chumra? The Rif says ad shlish. When the Gemara said ad shlish, it followed up by asking, milgav or milavar? And the Gemara said, teiku. So the Rif leaves out that last part, just says ad shlish. How's that mashma l'chumra? So probably what he means is, like we said before, that most of the time in Shas, when it says a fraction, it almost always means milavar. So you have the right to assume that if the Rif just said a shlish, stam shlish is milavar. Just like a stam chomesh is milvar. V'chein piru l'shem behedya rabbeinu nisim v'davka gabe yasrog shemar priye tzadar imkein lo nikra hadur b'shir ha'garua af she yotze bo. He says, but davka by esrog, maybe it's going to be ma'akev because by esrog it davka says priye tzadar avka gabe shofar t'kafa say avka shir ha'garua she lemati mimenu vein tzarech lo sif shlish mikol makum tov lahadar achrona mishum keli van veyu v'disa b'braisa. Still, it's a good idea to do it because Zek Keli Van Veu. But what we get from this Yam Shel Shlomo is that according to the Rush, the Paskin Shlish Milagav, apparently it's only a Dindar Abanan, it's not a Dindar Raisa. Could you argue that it's a Dindar Raisa and still we would go Lakula? Is there any reason to argue that it would be a din d'oraisa and still you'd go l'kula in terms of how to do it? In terms of how much to spend in the mitzvah? Normally, when you have a suffix on a d'oraisa, you have a suffix, let's say, whether your matzah is kosher for achudas matzah, for whatever reason. It's not chametz, but it's suffix, whether it's made with meperos or made with water, let's say. You have a suffix. So, we'll go l'chumri, you got to eat another kazayis, right? If you didn't, then what do you risk? If you don't eat another kazayis of actual real matzah, what do you risk? You didn't do the mitzvah. You didn't do matzah. It's a serious risk of not doing the mitzvah. That's normally how Sabi Daraisa works over here, right? If you do hidur, the thing about hidur is that it's a sliding scale. I can have the mitzvah, then a little better, a little better, a little better. You can always go nicer, right? Let's say I make it a little nicer than the Iker mitzvah. Did I not do hidur? I did hidur, I just didn't do to the highest level of hidur. Maybe the Torah says that you have to do hidur mitzvah. And that's what the Torah says. Hidur mitzvah. Zekeli van vehu. Is the shear of hidur a din d'oraisa? It could be hidur is a din d'oraisa, that you need to be mahader. You need to go above and beyond the mitzvah. Where does the shear of shlish come from? Maybe that's only the rabbanim. Zekeli van vehu just tells me to do hidur. So maybe the concept of hidur is d'oraisa. The Rush says, but we have a suffix, how far you have to go with this concept of d'oraisa. How far did the Rabbanan, how did the Rabbanan, what are the parameters that the Rabbanan set in how to do this? Now we have a suffix, but that's a suffix on the Rabbanan. I'm just pointing out that the Marshal's Raya, that the Rush Bus holds the Rabbanan, maybe not such a great Raya. Could you say the opposite? Would you ever be able to say if someone was machmir in this, that he holds it suffix to Rabbanan and still he'd be machmir? In terms of how to define hidur? Are we ever machmir in a suffix to Rabbanan? So this is one of the big psachim mar makomos. The famous Ran and psachim about the arba kosos. I think we discussed Sunday a little bit, right? Did we discuss? I think so. But arba kosos, the Ran asked the kasha. Why it is that when it comes to Dalu Kosos, we lean for all four Kosos. The Gemara says, we're not sure which two Kosos we're supposed to lean for, either the first two or the last two. It's definitely not supposed to be all four. It's either the first two or the last two. Suffolk, right? So what do? We lean for all four. But leaning by Dalu Kosos is Drabanan. So why would we lean for all four? That's the Chumrah. So the Ran gives two answers. One of his answers is, come on, it's not a big deal. Just lean. Like, what's the big deal? And the other answer is that, no, if we were to be Makel over here, so we're risking not doing the mitzvah at all if we were to be mekel, because it could be that you're supposed to lean for the last two, and we're going to be mekel and say, only do the first two, let's say. So then, Gantz Klal Yisrael, only do the first two, and you'll give up the mitzvah entirely. The Chol Mikra, what you see from the Ran, is that there are certain exceptions to Savik Darban Lekula. Particularly, first exception, when it's very, very easy. So would you say the same thing over here? But once you're spending a shlish, milagav, so what's another couple of bucks? Spend a shlish milavar. Would that fit the runs very, very easy? It depends how much money you have, and depends how much money it costs. So generally speaking, I do not think that would work. I mean, if you find a Rishon that's going to pass in L'chumra on Shlish and say Shlish Milvar, probably you're safe to assume that he holds it's a Din D'oraisa. That he holds that Hidur Mitzvah is a Din D'oraisa. The Ran says when it's easy to do, because what's the big deal? Just lean. You're eating anyway. You're there at the table anyway, so just lean. What's the big deal? I don't think he would say that when it comes to actually spending money, that you actually have to go out of your way to spend money. But again, Yamsha Shlomo Shita number one thinks that the Rush holds that it's a din to Rabbanon. Ritva, Sukkah Dafir Alpha Mbeis. The Gemara over there says about the Eged of a Lulav. So says the Ritva, Vi Rabbanon my mitzvah, Pirish Telekel Memra de mitzvah la ogdol lichadchila min hatorah. Eladievet and Loag Do Kasher. We can't say that there's a mitzvah lechadchila midaraisa to be ma'agid lulav, but if you don't do it, it's still kasher. Da kol b'daraisa lo shayni l'bein lechadchila b'en b'dievet. That's its own discussion. Very interesting concept the Rif has, that on a daraisa level, you're never going to have a difference between lechadchila b'dievet. It's either a mitzvah or it's not a mitzvah. There's no lechadchila b'dievet daraisa, that's only on a darabanan level. Very big chiddush, and you have to think about why. But the key line is the next line. Parkinon, dahainu mitzvah midrabanan, mishum shenemar, ze keli vanveu, is not the fun of the mitzvahs. That having an eged on the lulav is a mitzvah midrabanan, of Hidur Mitzvah. Now, what the Ritva means when he says Mishum Shenemar does not mean that because it's a pasuk, that's why it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. That wouldn't make any sense. If a psukim usually mean mitzvah d'araisa, he's not saying because it's a pasuk, it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. He's saying this is the mitzvah d'rabbanan that's associated with that pasuk of Zakeh Livan Ve'u. What kind of mitzvah d'rabbanan is this? It's the Mishum Shenemar Zakeh Livan Ve'u. It's not a kind of mitzvah. It's based on that idea of Hidur Mitzvah. But again, you see that the Ritva holds that it's a din drabanan, that Hidur Mitzvah is a din drabanan. Now, take a look I think I put the wrong Harei Kodesh over here in terms of any other nafkaminas other than shlish milavar, shlish milgav, whether it's din drabanan or din daraisa, my nafkamina the same as din drabanan. So now, always this simple nafkamina case of suffix, right? So the case of suffix. Maybe I should be a little clearer over here. I said before that according to the Amshel Shlomo, the way he read the Rush is that it has to be that it's a drabanan because otherwise, why would he be makel on the shlish? And what I pointed out is, he might hold the d'oraisa, but the din of shlish may be a din d'rabbanan. So is there a difference between holding that the din of shlish is... What's the nekudas hamachlokas then? If that's true, that everyone holds the d'oraisa, let's say, that even the Rosh holds the d'oraisa, but the din of shlish is d'rabbanan, right? Versus others who might say that no, the whole thing is d'oraisa, even the din of shlish is d'oraisa. What are they arguing about in terms of the nature of Hidur Mitzvah? Why would one think that Hidur Mitzvah is Daraisa but the din of Shlish is Drabanan? Versus Hidur Mitzvah Daraisa and therefore the din of Shlish being Daraisa also? Why would Shlish being Daraisa? What issue are they struggling with? What issue would you struggle with when you're trying to figure out whether Shlish is Daraisa or not? So on a very partial level, you could say, well, is there a pasuk in the Torah to indicate anything about shlish? Right? Or you could say, if there's no pasuk in the Torah to indicate anything about shlish, the Torah says to be mahader. What's the minimum level of hidur that you actually need in order to accomplish some level of keep? What does hidur mean? We said hidur comes in so many forms. It comes in maisa, in machshava, in chefza. So the teeniest, tiniest improvement is called a hidur mitzvah. Let's say I'm a little bit excited. I'm not excited about the matzah. So that's hidur all of a sudden. Meaning, unless you quantify it, it's very hard to. It can't be that the Torah gave us a din of hidur without an ability to quantify hidur. Because if you can't quantify it, so what? A little bit nicer, a little bit less nice. How do you know? Let's say it's just a fraction nicer. So that's called hidur. You get an estrog that's a fraction bigger than the minimum shear. You can't even tell to the naked eye. So that's called hidur. It's very hard. Without quantifying it, something like this, something like hidur, see, most mitzvahs are very cut and dry. It's very black and white, so you know what it is. If you have tefillin that have parshios that are written in it, and they're written in the kosher way, so you have kosher tefillin, that's it. But hidur doesn't seem as quantifiable, so we have to come up with some way to quantify it. And it has to be that the Torah gave us that way to quantify it, otherwise we never know if we're doing it. So maybe that's part of the nekuda of what's being discussed over here, in terms of whether shlish is daraisa or shlish is drabanan. Let's go weiter. Yeah?
Why can't we just not say that anything better than the regular way of doing it is enough?
Yeah, because again, is the teeniest, tiniest fraction, you're going to call that a hidur? If it's not even recognizable, really? It's just a little bit, let's say a larger esrog is a hidur. So a tiny drop larger is already kim dal rice of hidur mitzvah?
Why not?
Okay, maybe, yeah. Maybe, that, but I'm just saying, maybe that's the machlokas. Maybe the shita, again, the shita doesn't exist, that I made up, that says that the Rush holds that really hidur mitzvah is daraisa, but he's still makel on the shlish because that part of it is only drabanan. So maybe that the logic is that you're right, that any hidur on a daraisa level, anything is enough. That's called a hidur. But maybe the flip side is that no, you can't say that that anything is enough, because you have to quantify a mitzvah in some way. And a mashuhu doesn't make sense to be a quantifiable amount of a mitzvah. Maybe that's what the argument.
Also, another reason why it wouldn't be possible is because if it was a tiny fraction less, you wouldn't be able to notice it. So you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. You might be doing the opposite of hitting a mitzvah. Maybe you're choosing something that a little bit less.
So we're going to get to this. There's a discussion that we showed him what's the problem with an esrog that's the exact right size. Is it that it might shrink at any minute and then it will go below the size, and that's why the hidur is to get a bigger one? The hidur is in the fact that it won't become possible. Meaning it's not that it's more beautiful. It's the fact that in the course of time, you ever take last year's esrog out of the box, you know, you open up the box and it's like tiny. So the head, what? Yeah, so the esrog shrinks over time, right? Dries out and shrinks. So if you get just the bare minimum shear, the lack of hider is the fact that it might become possible. Whereas the hider of having a bigger one is that it won't become possible. So is that the way to understand hider? That you're saving yourself from potential psul? Or is hider just making things more beautiful? Or maybe both. Maybe those are different forms of hider. Right, these are possible. That's Rashi, right? Rashi says that it's Teferis Ba'aleha, that they were matriach to make themselves such a beautiful Sefer Torah.
Right, so the Ba'al is it's like more of a show off type of thing. Right? I'm sure, like, I put in this effort to do the mitzvah. So, in the case of maybe according to that, Shita, they would think that a slightly larger esrog would have been.
It doesn't show Teferis Ba'aleha that he went after. Even if you know you were able to measure with whatever, but there's no Teferis Ba'aleha. Good. Because you know and no one else knows. So it's like, yeah, is that what you're saying? So that shows the Kavanah. Okay, very good.
Is it possible that the Shlosh is a maximum?
What?
That the Shlosh is a maximum, not a
minimum? No, we'll see the Sugya. We'll see the Sugya in Baba Kama. We'll have to check it out. We'll have to see what it says over there. There's something else I was thinking, though, in terms of the Hidur. Yeah, when you have this idea that I said, that the din of hidur is din daraisa, but still the idea of shlish may be drabanan, so maybe it would still be suffik lukula. Do we say like that? When the ikar inyan is an inyan daraisa, do we just... Maybe the halacha should be that all sveikos associated with that inyan daraisa now become a suffik daraisa, even though the particular detail is a suffik drabanan. But since it's about an overall inyan daraisa, it's suffik daraisa. So we have to look at is why is Safik Daraisa L'chumra? What's the idea of Safik Daraisa L'chumra versus Safik Darabana L'kula? So Safik Daraisa L'chumra, Pashtos, is that when the Torah told us to do mitzvos, it told us even do a Safik mitzvah. So if you're going to do a mitzvah and you're mesupik, whether this is a mitzvah or not, you still got to do it. Or you're mesupik, whether you still need to do this mitzvah or not, you still got to do it. That's what the Torah told us within each mitzvah. Do even a Safik mitzvah. So the Rabban Lekul is that when the Rabban were misaki in the mitzvah, they were only misaki in Makom Vade, they weren't misaki in Makom Safek. L'chora, if that's the Svara, then it makes sense to say Safek Daraisa L'chumra on the mitzvah, but if on a detail, we're still going to say Safek Rabban Lekul. Unless one were to argue that when the Rabbanon tell you how to do a mitzvah, if you don't do it the exact way they told you to do it, you don't even get the mitzvah da'oraisa. From a Torah perspective, hidur mitzvah, tiny drop, is good enough. But once the Rabbanan told you need to go ad shlish, if you don't go ad shlish, you didn't even do the mitzvah at all. You don't even get credit, da'oraisa credits up in Shemayim. Can you say such a thing? Where do we ever have such an idea? So this is a machlokas Tosus in the Ran at the beginning of Masech HaSukkah. The Gemara over there talks about a sukkah that's Rosh of Ruba B'Sukasa V'Shulchada B'Sukha Bayis. A sukkah doesn't fit your shulchan also. Even if Midoraisa, your sukkah only needs to fit you and doesn't need to fit your shulchan, the Gemara is an expression that if that's the way you sat in sukkahs, so once the Rabbanon were Masaka, they need to have a 7x7 Tevach sukkah that can fit your shulchan also. Im Kena Sisa, if your whole life you sat in a sukkah that's only 6 tvachim, that doesn't fit your table, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. You were never mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. So Machlokas Tosfos and the Ran on the spot. What does that mean? Lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. Midar raisa, you were mekayim sukkah every time. 6x6 tefachim, good enough. What does it mean? Lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. Says Tosfos, a kefal tekachish. You were not mekayim mitzvah sukkah because once the Rabbanan determined, Tosfos gimel and aleph mesech sukkah, once the Rabbanan determined that this is how to do this mitzvah d'oraisa. If you don't do it that way, you're not even mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa. An unbelievable koch that the Rabbanan have. Minchas Chinuch uses this in connection to the mitzvah of Kiddush. Mitzvah of Kiddush on Friday night, Dagul Mavave asked the famous Kasha, how could it be that a person is Yotzei, that a person could be Motzi his wife in Kiddush on Friday night when he comes home from Shul? The wife didn't daven Mariv usually, so she didn't say Kiddush Betfila. The husband did say Kiddush Betfila, so he was ready to Mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa. How could he be motzi her? He doesn't have a chiyuv d'oraisa anymore. She does. He already said Kiddush Betfila. How could you be motzi someone who has a greater level of chiyuv than you? So how are we always motzi people who have a greater level of chiyuv than us? How could someone who read the Megillah read for somebody else? How could someone who said Kiddush already Shabbos day say Kiddush already for somebody else, again for somebody else? Because Arvus, Yatza Motzi, Kol Yisrael Reivim Zalzei. Yeah, but there's a Russian brachus that says that there's no Arvus for women. So ask the Dogon Mavav, if you hold like that Russian brachus, if you hold the Russian brachus really says that, and you hold like that Russian brachus that there's no Arvus for women, so then how could you be motzi your wife in Kiddush on Friday night? Says Minchas Chinuch Pashut, you weren't Yotze Kiddush Betfila. What do you mean you weren't Yotze Kiddush Betfila? The Rambam says, be Yotze Kiddush, all right, so all you need to do is say, Shabbos is awesome, it's so holy, it's fantastic. You said that in davening, roughly. You say that in Tefila. So how could you be that? What do you mean you're not Yotze Kiddush Betfila? Yeah, because once the Rabbanim came along and said to make Kiddush ala kos, then you're not Yotze Kiddush Betfila, because the Rabbanim told you how to make Kiddush, and when you do it a different way, you're not Yotze Kiddush Betfila. Birch Samazon. Let's say a person says the Birch Samazon of Binyamin Raya. The Gemara in Bracha says that there's a Birch Samazon of Binyamin the shepherd. What was his Birch Samazon? His Birch Samazon was Birch Rachmana the High Pita. Blessed is the God of this bread. I'm done. Right? Fantastic. Thanks for the food, God. That's it. Are you Yotzi Birch Samazon Midoraisa if you do that? Says Minchas Chinuch. No. Not anymore. Maybe once, but once the Rabbanan put a text to it, and they said, this is how to do the mitzvah, you're not Mekayim without that. So maybe you can say the same thing when it comes to Hidur Mitzvah Shlish. You want, yeah, Inachinam, Nido Raisa, any level of Hidur is good enough. Bima Hader, a tenth, a hundredth, or whatever. Any Hidur is a Hidur. But once the Rabbanan said that, no, if you want to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Hidur Mitzvah, it needs to be Ad Shlish, and you don't do a Shlish, you're not even Mekayim Mitzvah D'oraisa. Ooh, so now we have a suffix. What did the Rabbanan tell us when they said Ad Shlish? Did they mean 33% or did they mean 50%? And if I get it wrong and I do 33% and not 50%, I'm not doing it the way if the Rabbanan really meant 50% and I only do 33%, I'm not doing the mitzvah the way the Rabbanan told me to do the mitzvah. And therefore, it's a zero. It's a zero on the Hidr scale. Because if I don't do it the way the Rabbanan told me to do it, I'm not even Mekayim Hidr on a Doraisa level. So then I understand that you're going to have to say Safik Doraisa L'chumra if Hidr Mitzvah is a real Doraisa. You can't say that Hidr Mitzvah is Doraisa, but the numbers are only Drabbanan, so you could be Makel on the numbers even though Hidr Mitzvah is a Din Doraisa, like I was saying before. If you hold like this, that this is the kind of Drabbanan where the Drabbanan are telling you how to do the Doraisa, and the whole Din Doraisa is riding on this, on getting this right, so then maybe you would say something Doraisa L'chumra over here. But that's probably not true either. Because if you have a suffix about Kol Shel Kiddush, you say Safik Darabanan Kula, Safik Daraisa L'chumra. You have a suffix about whether your Kol Shel Kiddush has a proper shear or not, let's say. Safik Darabanan Kula, for sure. Safik Darabanan Kula, definitely. Aye, but if you don't do it the way the Rabbanan told you to do it, you're not going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah even on a Daraisa level. Yeah, but the Rabbanan told you to be Mekel in a suffix. Meaning that was part of the Din Rabbanan. The Rabbanan only were goes there their Din b'makom vaday, not b'makom safek. And if it's b'makom safek, so then the Din Rabbanan doesn't apply. Mela, you get the Kim Daraisa without it. Okay, so you can go in circles for a long time over here and have a good time discussing inyanim of Hidur. The other issue I wanted to get to today, which I guess next week we'll get to, I was just discussing whether it passes the mitzvah of Hidur when you don't do up to par, when you're in between that third and 33% and 50%, or when you're just under 33%, does it passel the Hidur d'oraisa? What about the mitzvah itself? Is there ever a mitzvah that if you do the mitzvah to the letter, but without any Hidur, that it's ma'akiv the mitzvah, that you're not even going to get the mitzvah itself? And what this will end up boiling down to is, how connected is Hidur to the mitzvah? Is Hidur an add-on to every mitzvah, or does it become part of the mitzvah? That every mitzvah in the Torah comes with the idea that it needs to be done in a mehudar way, otherwise it's not the mitzvah. Or the mitzvah in the Torah are the mitzvah in the Torah, and as an add-on, it comes with some bells and whistles, like Hidur, that you can add on. But you still have the mitzvah when you take away the bells and whistles, when you take away the Hidur. Right, so that's something to discuss. As Hashem, we'll get to next time. That's the sugi mitzvah. Sukkah, Rashi, Tosfos. Get Slavidic over there as well.